Okay, something's got to happen. We are reunited this morning, by the way. Paul is back with us,
thankfully. Sup?
Good morning. Tyrann Mathieu continues to tweet.
Huh.
This guy, I mean, Tyrann Mathieu is making me feel better about myself. That's where we're at. This dude has to get off social media. The newest safety now of the Chiefs. He's going back and forth with our friend Landry. He is deleting tweets, sending them off, deleting them rapidly.
He's doing the worst thing you can do on social media, which is it's pretty obvious he's searching for his own name.
Yes.
And because of this, he's exposing himself to a whole bunch of negativity, and he's making it even worse because he's fueling into it now. Where he was, Tyrann Mathieu left Houston. He said some nice things about Houston, and I think it would have been on him out his merry way. Where now, over the past 24 to 48 hours, he's been searching out haters on social media. And I would say responding to stuff that isn't even necessarily hate, but responding as it's hate. And I actually genuinely feel for Tyrann Mathieu, because I think anybody that's spent any time on social media has been in these positions where all of a sudden you realize, you're in an unhealthy place, but you just can't stop. And instead of enjoying his new contract and his new team and all those other things, he's been trying to slay haters on Twitter.
He's had addiction issues in the past. He might be addicted to social media. And I don't even joke when I say that. I mean, we all get addicted to certain things. I know for me, I go to Instagram, at Pauly Gallant, by the way, and I take a look at Instagram, and the next thing I know, 10 minutes have passed by. And I don't even really know what happened with those 10 minutes. I've just swiped through things, and I probably double tapped to like a nice ass that I saw,
yeah,
or to see a cat video that I saw, or something like that. And I feel like with Tyrann Mathieu, he just can't help himself. But you guys are right. I mean, dude, unplug. I mean, you just signed a 3-year, $42 million contract. You just signed with a team that came so close to beating the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Yeah, they're going to have to replace a lot on defense this coming season, but relax, dude.
Let's explain a little bit. Tell me some of these, Paul, Mike, because I've been trying to stay off of this. I only know through secondhand information that Landry and Tyrann have been going at it, and Tyrann's been going at it with a lot of other people. I see a lot of people I follow on Twitter saying that it's pretty evident that if you even type in Tyrann or Mathieu or Honey Badger into your Twitter machine you're going to get a response. Yeah.
So one example is somebody wrote, Tyrann Mathieu was solid but nothing special for the Texans last season.
Oh, wow. What hatred.
I think Gibson will be just as good, if not better. The Texans desperately need someone who can cover tight ends.
Yeah.
Mathieu finds this, even though this message has not been directed at Tyrann Mathieu, finds this, responds. Then Landry quotes that.
Well, how did he respond?
He basically said, "We'll see this year when I'm back to hunting the football. Stop speaking on me. You will realize, like everyone did, that you could never replace me."
Mm-hmm.
So Landry responded. Landry quoted it. And Landry wrote, SMH, the constant name searching and looking for social media drama is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And then Tyrann responded to Landry, writing, I'm convinced you're the troll trolling me, !
Mm-hmm.
And then Landry basically went back, and then Tyrann Mathieu doubled back with Landry and wrote in all capitals, at me so I can at you.
So Tyrann was, this gets too technical with the Twitter stuff for like 90% of our listeners aren't on Twitter. Basically, Tyrann's searching his name, searching out mild criticism, and then showing people that he's going to prove them all wrong, which is all well and good, but it's got shades or echoes or hints to it almost of the way Chandler Parsons left, where Chandler Parsons, who had been here in Houston a lot longer and done a lot more for his team in Houston than Tyrann Mathieu.
A lot more.
But we felt good about Chandler Parsons when he left. There were a few people that tried to, you know, accuse him of trying to take the money and everything. It made sense. It made sense that Chandler would take that contract in Dallas.
Yes.
And we all felt good for him. But then over the course of several months, he had to take these little shots and jabs at Houston. And they were these drive-by assaults that didn't make any sense, to the point where we started hating Chandler Parsons.
And the Rockets were way more criticized for letting Chandler Parsons walk away,
right,
than the Texans are for letting Tyrann Mathieu walk away.
So Tyrann Mathieu, we want to like Tyrann Mathieu. I think the fans want to, but now we're in this position where he's slowly creeping towards being a little bit nasty towards Houston. And it's not just the social media stuff. It's him saying that the Texans' defensive backs wanted no part of Pat Mahomes last year. That was the part where he's in a new place. He's in Kansas City. He's trying to make nice to everybody, and he's trying to compliment Pat Mahomes, but does so by saying basically, yeah, we were all scared of Pat Mahomes last year in Houston. We didn't want no part of that. Really, man? Come on. Is that how you're going to paint the leadership that you brought to the team last year?
So I actually went back last night, and I watched all 20 minutes of Tyrann Mathieu's news conference, and I actually felt like he came across way more normal than he does on social media.
Yeah.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday discussing the Honey Badger's bizarre Twitter antics. Here is Tyrann Mathieu's take when he was asked from a Texan standpoint what they thought in the AFC of the Kansas City Chiefs.
We talked about playing against the Chiefs, you know, last postseason, and, you know, quite frankly, we didn't want to play against them. And, you know, I thought any time I watch, you know, highlights or watch the Chiefs game, you know, I always saw a quarterback that, you know, the gunslinger really is what comes to mind, but he takes care of the football. You know, he's not reckless with it. So you could tell that, you know, he studies a lot. He knows where his receivers are. He knows where his teammates are. And I think ultimately he takes care of the football and he scores points. So, you know, I think that makes my job a lot easier.
I felt listening to that, I don't know if you guys agree, that to me came across a little bit lighter than looking at it on paper. Well,
did that have the money quote in it?
Yes, I watched all 20 minutes.
I missed
minutes.
It at the beginning.
Yeah.
No. The clip we just played.
Yes, it was the very first part.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I can reset it.
No, that's all right. I just missed it for some reason.
So when I heard that, I'm like, okay, that sounds reasonably okay. Because when I read last night, Jeff Rosen, who used to work here for the Chronicle, now he's with the Kansas City Star, when he wrote, Tyrann Mathieu said he and his Texans teammates saw what Mahomes and the Chiefs did during the regular season and wanted no part of them in the playoffs. I got angry. I looked at him like my blood was boiling. And even though I wanted no part of the Chiefs, I'm like, how could they want no part of the Chiefs?
That's a good
They're
point.
Football players. They play in the NFL.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy that phrased it that way?
Jeff Rosen.
This guy's no better than Golden State media. This guy is taking some words and blowing them up into like, hey, did you see this? He basically called Houston sissies. That's what he did.
He probably knew he had some Houston followers too if he was to word it in a way like that. Definitely got the reaction that he wanted.
I actually felt this is a really good example of like when you look at something, the words on paper, and when you hear it, even if they're the exact same thing, the words on paper have a much bigger impact.
Yeah. That's why I don't write anything.
It
sticks around forever,
it stays.
Too.
Yeah.
And everybody in this business, they want you to write. You got to write for job security. I'm like, nah, I don't want that job. It's like, if that's what my job becomes, then I'm not going to do it. Yeah. It's no fun.
Tyrann's got to get off social media.
He does, because we do. I think, and part of it is, look, he's never going to be beloved in Houston. He wasn't here long enough, and he wasn't attached to a really good team.
Exactly.
Like, he wasn't that good.
It was we were ships passing in the night.
And it was a year.
He was just fine. Like, he wasn't exceptional or anything.
He was above average.
He liked to blame it on the scheme and whatever. And there might be some truth to that. We'll see how he does with Steve Spagnuolo up there in Kansas City. And like, because they very well might use him in a more aggressive manner, and maybe he'll be more productive. But I'm not all that concerned about that. I am concerned about just athletes in general when they start to do this too much. Who was the basketball player that quit? Was it Redick? J.J. Redick quit social media this year. He had a nice long piece about just how destructive it can be. And Jason,
I think you're right, yes.
Jason Whitten did the same thing. He
well, that was a great move by him.
Jason Whitten quitting social media. Oh,
yes.
My gosh. What? I don't know. Well, I don't know if he possibly could have, though.
Here's the weird thing about Tyrann Mathieu, and I realized that a lot of what our job is in sports media, and especially in sports radio, is, you know, poking holes, finding negative things sometimes. Not really finding negative things, but just finding issues, because ultimately you want to solve the issues and win championships and all that. But I'm trying to put myself in Tyrann Mathieu's shoes, and he's being paid like one of the three best safeties in the NFL. If I was given that contract, whatever my professional equivalent would be, I can't imagine in the week that happens to me where I have tremendous professional success, I am going to go out of my way to find negativity.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking too highly of myself, but I'm having a hard time on the day that I sign a huge deal with Kansas City that I am going to go back and forth with our great friend Paul Gallant the moment after I sign the contract or agree to the contract. That's crazy to me. And that could be me in that spot. That could be Seth Payne. Whoever. That's crazy to me.
And this is what I worry about with young athletes, too. And he's not even that young anymore. It's that they all tell themselves that they're using it as fuel. And I don't, I think it's too much fuel. It's like you're dumping gasoline. You're dumping like a truckload of gasoline on a little campfire. Ultimately, it's a little much, and you end up having fires elsewhere.
Arson.
Too. Versus like the little, Tom Brady uses the old school method of putting a chip on your shoulders, like, oh, a press clipping somewhere, or this writer here somewhere. The problem with social media is that the negativity stacks up so quickly.
Well, it's everywhere.
So, it's everywhere.
It's not just the writers.
And you will never win. You'll never win, ever. You know, the thing is, you can actually shut a writer up. Like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, when he was a young quarterback, did not get a lot of respect from Pete Prisco, who's a CBS sports writer. Over time, Pete Prisco ended up relenting and saying, you know what, Russell Wilson has turned into a pretty good player. So, like, you can actually win that battle. You can prove somebody wrong. No matter what you do or accomplish, I will point to one LeBron James. You will never shut up the hate on social media. And when you seek it out, it amplifies it.
Yes.
It becomes not just the hate that's already there. It's like when a zombie smells blood, or however, how do zombies get clued into it?
Paul?
You know when they all crank their head up and zombies. they see that there's a human somewhere, and then
they're mindless killing machines. Yes,
they swarm, and that's what happens. So you can't invite it that way. So I think there are a lot of people out there lying to themselves and saying, oh, they think. I see so many people acting like they're having fun on social media. I'm like, ha ha! Look at all these haters. I'm going to shut them down. Where you know, just inside, they're dying. They're absolutely dying. I feel bad for them.
I left a surprise for his sleuthing on Twitter. It's actually an authentic message. Good luck on the defense that fired its entire coaching staff, released Eric Berry, released Justin Houston, let Steven Nelson go, and traded D Ford. And I didn't add him. So we'll see. We'll see how really deep he is searching.
Well, but that's a positive one, though, too.
It's a positive. But at the very bottom, I did say, I'd add him, but he'll find it.
I do worry about Tyrann Mathieu, though. And I'm glad you brought this up, Paul. It's a really good point. He's had substance abuse issues in the past. And a lot of times, a lot of addicts will tell you, hey, you've got to replace the addiction with something. If you've got an addictive personality, you flat out need that dopamine. You're going to want to replace it with something. Social media probably isn't the healthiest thing with which to replace it. It's way better than drugs, don't get me wrong. But it can be pretty damn destructive.
It's definitely not healthy.
What validation, what positivity, what anything does he get from this? Really? That's what I'm really wondering on this front. Don't you want a little dopamine in your life? I'm pretty sure that this just inspires frothy rage and veins in your forehead.
What is it about? There's something about Twitter that Twitter, though, it's not like it makes you feel good. It actually makes you feel really bad a lot of the time. And I feel like their algorithm is specifically set up to make you angry. Like, I know, I've been trying to monitor it and see what pops up into my feed. And I'm like, I know, there's no way the algorithm calculates that this is going to make me happy. It's definitely like tweeting people that I know that I know make me angry more often onto my timeline. Because I must, like, realizing, and I must click on that more or something. So, yeah, there's something about, like, what is that? That's not the equivalent of dopamine, right? What is it about the stuff that makes you, well, it's like Rush Limbaugh. Like, supposedly, a huge chunk of Rush Limbaugh's listeners are actually liberals who can't stand Rush Limbaugh, but they can't stay away.
They're hate listening.
They have to hate listen to it. What is that? Like, one of you neuroscientists out there, biologists, let me know, what's the feedback loop there? Like, what substance in my body am I getting that I want more of when I'm, like, drawn to something that makes me angry?